Hello, I'm Kelly Klinger. I am a former extra on the Mickey Mouse Club and was once a background singer for Britney Spears. I am a daughter, a sister, a wife, and a mother. I am a songwriter, a friend, a blogger, and a Christian. I am also a post-abortive woman who has lived with paralyzing self-hatred and suffocating guilt because of my choices. After finding healing in the arms of a loving God, I also found a resounding voice inside of me to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the unborn babies who are no longer safe inside the womb, and for the millions of women who are feeling the destruction and pain that abortion leaves in its path. Please join me for the Colorado March for Life on January 21st at 12 o'clock noon at the Colorado State Capitol as I honor my children in heaven and all of the lives that have been stolen by the abortion industry. Help us continue our fight to end abortion now and promote personhood in Colorado by adding your voice to mine. I hope to see you there.
Warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyard.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And who are you?
Joe Scott.
Joe. Hi, Joe.
Founder and director of Pro-Life Colorado.
Joe, welcome to the studio. Britney Spears' name was mentioned not in a negative way on this show.
Amazing.
The past few programs, and that's because of Kelly Klinger coming for the March for Life. I really hope people come out so that we can encourage one another, continue the fight, and encourage her because she's a young and up-and-coming pro-life leader. And she is learning about personhood, which is just a thrill.
That's an absolute thrill. The more young people we get on board with us, the better off we'll be. We need the younger generation to follow in our footsteps.
That's right. And so we want to talk a bit about that later, but Frosty the Snowman was arrested at Planned Parenthood on Saturday.
That's right.
We'll talk about the Frosty Caper.
Yeah.
And today, I was called for jury duty.
Ooh, fun.
And I'd like to tell that story. It's just a little bit to tell.
Okay.
So where do we start? How about the Frosty Caper on Saturday?
Well, Frosty the Snowman was arrested, but they couldn't take him in because he melted.
That's right. Now, this is 10 Denver police cars at the abortion clinic in Denver. Now, that's by the Stapleton area.
Right, right behind the Renaissance Hotel.
Right, so the streets there are 38th and Pontiac.
Yes.
If ever anyone wants to go to be a voice to protect that unborn child and to tell the mother that she can be loved with her child, she doesn't have to kill her baby to be loved and accepted.
That's true, and that's exactly what goes on out there, except Saturday was a little different.
Saturday was a bit of a zoo. But and it's generally a good thing to turn the abortion clinic neighborhood into a zoo-like carnival atmosphere, because even that, so many women are so hesitant about killing the baby because they know it's a baby and that they might pull up, see all the police cars, and leave.
Well, the whole incident took about an hour, and during that time, not one car drove into Planned Parenthood.
Not one car. We have seen this when the place becomes a zoo. Women are very hesitant to go in to kill their child because they have a voice, a conscience from God, and you could overwrite that. You could make that voice softer and softer until you hardly can hear it at all, hardening your heart. But some people have that voice. They can still hear it. And so here's this obstacle, and they decide, I just can't kill my baby, at least not today.
Well, imagine pulling up to an abortion clinic, and there are 10 squad cars, 8 of them parked all over the street, just catawampus everywhere on the street, and 2 of them in Planned Parenthood, cops everywhere. Cops everywhere. I don't think you want to drive by that to go anywhere.
I've seen the photos of what caused all this ruckus, and we have to post them on our website today at KGOV.com. But basically, it was a cold day. You guys are out there, Joe. I am not there nearly as often enough. I always invite you and Ken. Just tell me when I have to be there, and I'll be there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to that one of these days.
I tell because I want to be there more often than I am.
Okay.
And I'm busy, so what? Everybody's busy. Kids are being killed.
It was really cold on Saturday, Bob. Hmm. Real cold. And Planned Parenthood is situated behind a Renaissance hotel, so it's shaded. The hotel is huge, much bigger than the Planned Parenthood building, or at least much higher. Hmm. And so the sun doesn't come up early there, and we get there at 7:30, and the entire tarp that they have on their fence to keep
us... A tarp, because the goal is for the women going in to kill their babies, they want them to be shielded from the pro-lifers' message.
Right.
The pictures of what their baby will look like once Planned Parenthood kills the child, and also the words of encouragement, of warning. They want all that stopped, and still many babies are saved. How many babies have been saved so far this year, and that's since Roe v. Wade Day last year?
Right. There's 59 babies saved, 59. And I was kept from the mill for over a month, too, this year by that
bogus restraining order, which is now lifted.
Partially.
So, Joe, so it's very cold, and the black
tarp
over the fence got frost on it.
Frosted completely over.
Yeah.
Making the perfect medium for a frosty message, you know?
For a message.
Right.
So you guys used your fingers.
The warmth of our fingers melted the frost.
Right.
And then the frost freezes and turns white.
It's like if a car window frosts up or has snow on it and you write your name in the snow.
Yeah.
But you guys did that on a tarp on a fence. You're standing on the public sidewalk.
Yes.
And so what did you guys write?
Stop killing kids. I want to live, mommy. Babies don't want to die. Those kinds of things.
Okay. And you wrote them large so that stop killing kids is maybe 6-8 feet wide.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and it melts a little bit so the letters get thicker and it's really easy to read.
Right. Very. It looks just like chalk. On a black,
it looks like
surface.
it was done. You could be across the street and read the signs easily.
That's why we did it, because the cars driving by can read them and their messages for them.
So, the police show up.
Yes, they did.
In force.
We were done. Debbie Evans and I did it, and we were done in like
Joe,
5 minutes.
Joe, you just admitted it. I hope none of the prosecutors are listening to the show or can get a recording.
Oh, I sent them the video.
You did, right?
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
so many times I've been in court, I've been in jail, and I admit it.
Yeah.
All the other inmates at Jefferson County Jail, they all deny that they did anything. And I'm there and I admit it. I say, yeah, I did it.
That's right.
Of course I did it. They're killing kids. Of course you're going to go peacefully, prayerfully, try to save the life of a child who's going to have his arms ripped off by Planned Parenthood.
Right. When the cops all pulled up, a sergeant pulled in afterwards and jumped out of the car and said, who rode on the fence? I said, I did. And he said, come with me. I want your ID. You've destroyed public property. And I said, I destroyed frost. I didn't destroy public property.
I destroyed frost.
You're right.
And so you told him you just wrote with your finger in the frost on the, and he believed it, right? He went and looked?
No, he did not.
He didn't believe it.
He took me to my car to get my ID, and I kept saying, look, the sun's up now. It's starting to melt. Turn around. You'll see it's melting. The message is disappearing. He wouldn't turn around. Yeah. I said, come on, I'll take you over there. You can watch it melt. He would not look at the fence.
Right.
He just wouldn't. It was like I was flabbergasted. I told the cop that was standing next to him with the video camera, I said, take a picture because you're not going to have any evidence.
Right. Please, quick, take a picture of the crime because it's
disappearing.
It's melting.
Yeah.
I'm melting. So, Joe, so eventually what happened then? You were not given a ticket.
No, I was not, because one of the officers went inside the Planned Parenthood building and looked at a portion of the film that I wasn't on.
Because they have video going
all the time
whenever we're there.
Yes.
And so, and you weren't on there, but you already mentioned Debbie Evans.
Right.
And she's been convicted of being married to Scott Evans.
Yeah, and that's a felony, as I hear.
Right? They're two tremendous pro-life leaders, activists, just awesome people.
Awesome. And they're Christians. With us, such encouragement to us, answered yes. a prayer for
and
us.
And dear friends of ours and of my family, my mm-hmm. sons. And so, Joe, so Debbie ended up getting a ticket.
Yes, she did. And when the police asked her how she did it, she held her finger up and she said, I did it with my finger. And so the sergeant says to the guy writing the ticket, write down that she scratched into the fence.
She scratched it.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Right. It's so weird, right?
Debbie said, no, this part, I did it with my finger.
The soft part of my finger.
Yeah. Well, you need your body warmth.
The part that you use to scroll an image on your cell phone.
Yeah.
Not the tip of your finger.
No.
That'll select a link.
That makes little teeny.
The fat part.
Yeah, it makes little teeny letters. You have to use two fingers.
Two fingers,
and
so it's visible.
The flat part, yeah.
Okay, so they actually gave her a ticket for riding in the frost on the tarp on the abortion clinic fence.
Bob, by the time they gave her the ticket, with all everything that was transpiring and the circus was ensuing, there was nothing left on the fence.
It had all melted.
It had all melted, but she had her ticket.
Joe, this reminds me of some time ago when we were at another abortionist for Planned Parenthood, Edward Patrick O'Loughlin.
Oh.
And he lives on a cul-de-sac in our abortionist holiday home visits. We go about eight times a year. And there was packed snow and ice on the road. And so we used the heels of our shoes and we scraped off six letters, killer, big 10-foot tall letters. And wouldn't you know, as the sun came up, it was just perfect to melt the letters wider.
Oh, wow.
So it was on a bright white background, black letters, 10 feet tall, killer facing his front door. And there should be no child killing with tranquility.
None.
If there are medical students who are thinking about what profession to get in, you know, people don't protest at a dermatologist's house on Christmas morning, but they do protest at the homes of those who kill children.
Yes, they do. And not just in Denver.
All over the country.
Right.
Right. So, okay. So the similar thing happened, only this time Debbie Evans got a ticket.
She got a ticket.
So Frosty the Snowman was arrested.
She was.
On Saturday. And does she go to court? What's the...
No, she doesn't.
Why?
Well, all of a sudden, every squad car left. All 10 of them. They left.
So this is the insanity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of child killing.
Mm-hmm.
It is the insanity.
It is. In fact, I said that. I said, you're going to arrest me for writing in frost, and they're killing kids. And I want you to go in there and arrest them.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't.
I remember the female sergeant down at Planned Parenthood 20th and Vine, who I got pretty mad at because I think you might have been there. You and Ken might have been there that Saturday morning. Flip Benham was there, of all things, leader of Operation Rescue National, OSA. And they had a horse there because they were bringing a horse across the country to bring attention to the plight of unborn children being killed who were walking across the country. And this young girl who was crying was pulled into this abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood, and it looked like she was 13 or 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said to the policeman and the sergeant, look, you guys got to go in there and talk. There's evidence of this child was sexually assaulted by somebody. Somebody's got to go in there and talk to her. And this sergeant, she not only refused, the horse was nibbling on the grass. And she said, you know what? I'm going to give a ticket to this horse for eating city property.
Oh, so the horse got a ticket.
Yeah, the horse was nibbling on the grass. And I was enraged that this girl probably either... You know, either it was, well, who knows who impregnated her.
But just by the fact that she's 13, it's
right.
rape.
She looks 13. Now, maybe she's 16. But the cops who were there said, maybe we should go in and check. You know, they were agreeing. They saw her go in. And this woman, I was just enraged at this woman for caring, acting like she cared about the grass, but not the young girl going in who was very possibly raped.
That's not unusual, Bob. Unfortunately,
right.
It's not.
Right. So, all right. So So Debbie Evans gets the ticket.
They all leave, like, together. They get in their cars and they leave. As fast as they showed up and surrounded us, they were gone. And so Debbie's got a ticket. She's going. We're taking pictures of the fence to show that it's all melted. 5 minutes later, the cop that gave her the ticket came back and asked her to hand him her ticket. He said, "Give me your ticket. We're going to tear it up. It was just frost."
It was just frost. So Frosty the Snowman was arrested and then released. So it's a catch and release program.
Yeah.
At the abortion clinic at 38th and Pontiac in Denver at the Stapleton area. And folks should go out Saturday morning and Tuesday through Friday, actually Tuesday through Saturday. Come on out and encourage the other pro-lifers there and be a voice for the child who's about to be killed.
Mm-hmm. We need you.
How many children saved?
59.
59 children saved so far this year.
That's right.
Okay. All right, Joe, so I was called for jury duty.
That's always fun. Did you get on?
No, I was. Each side gets a peremptory challenge, three in this case of this trial. And so the defense excused me in their peremptory challenges. And just a few thoughts and observations. You know, they say we have the best system in the world. The attorneys say it. The judges say it. I was looking for the opportunity to respond to that because they ask you some questions. But I wanted to say, you know, guys, we have among the world's highest violent crime rates and among the world's highest sexual assault rates and among the world's highest incarceration rates. So unless you're considering that we have the highest paid judges in the world and the highest paid attorneys in the world, you'd have to conclude we have one of the worst criminal justice systems in the world. Not the best, the worst. Because you judge its effectiveness by the results, not by how much money the people in the industry make.
Or how good they can make us feel about what they say it is.
Yeah. Right. So you look at the results, and if you have a good criminal justice system, then you have very little violent crime, very little murder, very little rape, and so on. But we have epidemic percentages of these horrendous crimes.
Wow.
So, and there was a sign there that said, if you need to convince your employer that you really were on jury duty, you got to take one of these affidavits. Because the court doesn't keep a record of who's on the jury. No. So you got to do it now. So for everything in government, there's accountability. If you're going to buy a hammer for the military, there's an accountability chain a mile long. If you're going to decide whether a rapist murderer goes free, there's absolutely no accountability.
That's frightening.
It's justice by committee. You bring together a virtually anonymous committee. And regardless of how negligent or grossly negligent they are, like if it's OJ with a mountain of evidence that he's a murderer, and for whatever political reason, they decide to acquit, they let him go not guilty, and then he ends up arrested with a gun in a hotel room threatening somebody else over sports memorabilia. So there needs to be accountability for the most important function of government, which is the administration of criminal justice.
Right.
In our system, there is none. It's justice by committee. And they show you this video, and the video says, you know, without the jury system, we would not be able to have peaceful trials.
What does that mean?
And I'm thinking, how could they say this? Ed Sardella, you let your voice, Ed Sardella narrates the jury video. I think, come on, isn't there any quality control over this? Why can't there are trials all over the world and through history where there's a judge who judges, and a million of those trials have been conducted peacefully? So what, people, the judges and the lawyers are so stupid? I bet you if you ask them, what are the arguments against a jury system? I bet you they'd have a hard time thinking of any of them.
They probably never thought of them.
I think they haven't. But justice by committee is a failure. It is a failure. Once they render their verdict, they disperse and melt into the community. And so it's a basically anonymous process where there is no accountability. And that is a failure. That's a failure. And so it gets me angry. You know what the defense attorney said? And it was the defense that excused me. Each side got to excuse three jurors for no reason. It's called peremptory challenge. You know.
Yeah, I know, because I've done it.
Yeah, you have more bench time than most trial attorneys.
Yeah.
And so, Joe, I think I do, too, than the average trial attorney. And so the defense attorney said this. He said, now, the prosecution and the judge, we all agree that evidence has to show beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant is guilty, beyond a reasonable doubt. And he said, have you ever had to decide whether to have surgery? And have you ever paused to think about it? He said, that is reasonable doubt.
Oh, my.
And I just wanted to smack him. I just wanted to smack him. But as we pointed out way back when we bought O.J. Simpson's memorabilia at auction, you remember I got to go on Court TV to talk about O.J. Simpson's guilt and who's the murderer with the Lacey Peterson, Scott Peterson. That Scott Peterson should be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we pointed out when we burned O.J. Simpson's memorabilia and his Hall of Fame award and all on the steps of the L.A. courthouse, that this test that you this threshold that you have to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt, that is a bad test. That's not the correct test, because it's very hard to prove a negative. And a doubt is a negative. A doubt is not a positive. A doubt is a negative. So you're trying to measure something based on its relationship to a negative. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence that God says in the Bible that should be used, the standard for a conviction, is two or three lines of reasonable evidence. That's a positive thing, not a negative. You can't prove a negative.
Right.
So it should be, there needs to be two or three pieces of reasonable evidence. They could be eyewitnesses, and you judge their credibility, and physical evidence, and the suspect's fingerprint, and the blood of the deceased at the crime scene. You know, that speaks volumes. But a reasonable doubt is not a good standard.
But it is the standard.
It is the standard, and it's a tragedy because a lot of murderers and other criminals have gone free, and a lot of women have been beat and beat again and beat again, and while the guy's in the system the whole time. The system is a complete failure. This horrendous case, the murders in Tucson, Arizona, over the weekend, and this guy had repeatedly made death threats to people, and the criminal justice system is completely incompetent. And so the sheriff there, he reminded me of John Stone at Columbine with Jefferson County. Remember the family, the Brown family, who had gone to the sheriff's department repeatedly with complaints about Harris and Klebold, and they even brought their list of the people they wanted to kill and the pipe bombs and the whole bit. And Jefferson County Sheriff's Department drew up an application for a search warrant, and then they never brought it to court. And then they lied about it. Then they lied and said, we never did that. After the Brown family said, you guys did do that and you dropped the ball. They lied. Finally, the governor's investigation, the governor's commission reported that the paperwork eventually surfaced. Jefferson County, the sheriff on, they lied. And there was a lot of evidence that these guys were dangerous, making death threats. There should have been a search warrant on their home. And the sheriff's department just dropped it. So what did the sheriff do right out of the gate? The day Columbine happens, he says to the media, we think that Randy Brown's son might be a suspect.
I remember that. It was appalling. It was just appalling. They turned on the people that were, you know, waving the flag. Get these guys. They're
get
dangerous.
These guys. Right. Because the sheriff didn't want the spotlight on him. So, and here in Arizona, it might be the same thing. The sheriff says, you know, it's all this political vitriol.
Right.
And all the public school teachers ran to look up vitriol.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, This guy, he's, for one, he's obviously mentally ill. For two, his views are all over the map. For three, he might end up being way more left-wing than any other wing. But he's mentally ill, and so the sheriff, right off the bat, diverts attention. So often, so many crimes could have been avoided, including when guys beat up their girlfriends. They do it again. They do it again. They get slaps on the wrist. They get thrown in jail where they get to play softball and basketball, watch pornography on movies on the TVs there. And then they get out and they kill their
girlfriend or wife.
Right.
Yeah.
The system is a complete failure.
Bob, when a cop can't even turn around and look at frost melting on a fence and make a rational decision.
I mean,
that sounds ridiculous, but
yeah,
it didn't hurt us.
Right.
But it does take other people's lives and destroy it.
Yeah, and here's 10 cop cars who should have been out. We do live, it's like the frog in the gradually boiling water. He doesn't jump out because he gets used to it. There is a crime epidemic in this country, but we're all used to it. We accept this level of crime and incarceration. And so they asked, one of the things they ask, they have a bunch of questions they ask each potential juror. It's during voir dire.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, one trial, I told the judge I was going to represent myself. You've done that?
Yes.
And he said, he tried to scare me. Like he said, do you realize you'll have to voir dire the jury?
Oh, my.
And I said, you mean I'll have to ask them questions? And he said, well, yeah. I said, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
So they asked me, well, have you ever been a party to a case? And I said, I've been arrested a number of times. And they said, well, what for? And I said, I protest the killing of unborn children at Planned Parenthood abortion clinics.
Well, that's why you didn't get on the jury.
Well, it's interesting to think through. So he said, well, how many times? And I thought, and I said, well, let's just say over a dozen. And so then it was the defense that excused me, and this was a domestic violence case. So you're thinking someone who's willing to risk their comfort, career, whatever, income, to protect the innocent might not be someone a defense attorney would want to have if there's a guy threatening or beating his wife or girlfriend.
Right.
Because we are willing to risk a lot for justice for the innocent. And so the defense excused me. So that's how I was able to come on the show today, find out about Frosty.
Melting before he could
Frosty,
be taken in.
Right. Arrested and released. Catch right. and release. And then Joe, the March for Life is coming up with Kelly Klinger. And she's been on the Mickey Mouse Club and formerly a backup singer for Britney Spears. Now she is a Christian committed to protect the unborn children.
Praise the Lord.
So let's go out Friday at noon, January 20th, is it?
22nd.
21st, I think. 21st. Let's argue.
Okay.